You're now listening to Real Estate Journeys with Matthew Baltzell.
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, a.k.a. Matthew Baltzell, and welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for new real estate investors looking to grow their brand and their business. On today's episode, we have on Neil Bawa. Neil is an affectionately known by his friends as the mad scientist of multifamily, is a technologist and an entrepreneur in love with power of numbers to create profit for his real estate investors. He is a CEO, founder at Grow Capitus, a commercial real estate investment company. Neil acquires commercial properties across the U.S. for 300 plus investors. Current portfolio of over 1,800 units and plans to be by 3,000 in 12 months. Neil, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm really glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. So, Neil, I wanted to bring you on today because I've heard you on prior podcasts speaking about hiring VAs, and I know that many people hear this and want to scale their business, and you seem to be the man that's had great success in scaling your real estate business, and I wanted to pick your brain. Could you speak on behalf of how to really start hiring VAs and you using VAs and how you go about using that in your process?
Sure. I will go into the specifics and the steps to hire VAs, but first I want to talk about mindset. If you want to be successful in hiring virtual assistants, maybe the first thing that you really want to do is stop calling them virtual assistants, because that word itself is destructive, right? Because what it implies is somebody that does the shit work. You know, I have this mining to do from this website, and I'm going to grab this assistant, and they're going to go in and basically grab stuff that I don't have time to do. I want to make 100 phone calls, and I don't know only two people will pick up. I'm going to hire a virtual assistant. And that's where most people go wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things, but you're not going to scale your business using virtual assistants by doing those kinds of tasks. Those are both basically one-time research tasks or one-time, you know, data collection tasks that I think virtual assistants are very good for. But I think that if you truly want to scale your business with VAs, the first thing you want to do is to stop calling them VAs. In our company, no one is allowed to call them virtual assistants. They're called team members. It doesn't matter whether they're in the Philippines, which is where most of our VAs are, there's some are in India, or they're in the US, right? They're team members. They matter just as much as anybody else. So when you start your journey with a virtual assistant, your initial goal is, okay, I'm just going to hire somebody and I'm going to show you where to hire them and how to hire them and how to pick the best ones. I'm going to show you that. But what you're trying to do is this. You're trying to get away from having a part-time VA that works 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. And what you're trying to do is to scale up to having a full-time person and then having two and then having 10, right? That's how you scale, because full-time people give you much, much higher quality of work. They give you a deliverability that's much higher than somebody that's part-time. So that's the first thing that I want you guys to think about. Change your mindset. These people are not here to do just the worst work. My virtual assistants, team members, are doing things that you'd be shocked. They are doing every part of our business. We inject them into every single part of our business. We constantly challenge them. And the beauty of it is because they're getting paid at a much lower scale, right? They're from the Philippines, so they're getting paid a lot less. We can afford to incentivize them when they do things that are outstanding. They do things that are out of the box. They create procedures and systems that make our whole company more efficient. Well, here's $50. Here in the US, that $50 may not actually change behavior. But in the Philippines, it actually has long-term changes in their behavior when they realize that you want them to use their mind, not just their time. It is their mind that you're after if you want to scale your company.
How do you go about starting to find a team member, I should say, if we want to say, go about hiring a team member? There we go. So if we want to hire, if we're looking to bring on team members, you've mentioned the Philippines and you've mentioned India. are those good places to start? Or should I look at Serbia? Should I look at Eastern Europe? Should I look at South America? Like, what parts of the world should I be going? And what should I be looking for in a team member when bringing on somebody for a full-time assistant, executive assistant job?
The reason I mentioned the Philippines is that the world's single largest collection of educated assistants comes from the Philippines. So, right, so it's a outsourcing country. And because they have a massive number of call centers there, you're going to get staff that has already received professional training, both on being on the phone with Americans and also working with American software. That's one of the key reasons why you would want to look at the Philippines first before anywhere else. There's downsides of the Philippines. If you're looking at South America, especially some parts of South America, the time difference between you and that person is going to be 4 hours. Most of the time it's 4 hours and sometimes it's 5 hours, which means that it becomes easier to work with the assistants and they're not falling asleep. I prefer not to work with South Americans. I do work with Eastern Europeans for certain tasks that are technical because I find that Ukrainians are very good with either, you know, Excel, very high level, difficult Excel manipulation. They're also very good with software. So that's a niche. Indians tend to be bad on the phone because the accent is much heavier than the Philippines, but they tend to be pretty good in accounting. So anything that's related to back office and multitasking administration tasks, you'll get really, really good staff in India, right? What I'm finding, though, is in the Philippines is my personal bang for the buck. I'm getting a better bang for the buck. And I've always hired them through a website called Upwork.com, even though there's another very good one called onlinejobs.ph, and that one's specific to the Philippines. Upwork is the world's largest outsourcing provider. So they have millions of these people on there, and pretty much every company, every country on the globe is represented. Right. I was joking with somebody that's actually one Upworker from the Vatican on there. Right. I guess he's a part-time pastor or something like that. There's all these people and they're very talented. But I have to tell you that the average or the median level of competency is pretty low. Right. A lot of these people are doing Upwork simply because they can't get other jobs. But at the same time, and this is the interesting part of it, is that once you know how to filter those people out, then the median or average level of competency is actually very high, right? It's just that the number of people that are mediocre is vastly greater than the number of people that are not mediocre, but still the talented people are still in the tens or hundreds of thousands. So you've got a very wide choice, an incredibly wide choice. And that's why our company loves it. We have, for every employee in the U.S., right? We have currently, I think we have 5 employees in the U.S. So we've got Tammy, Anna, Neil, Karen, I'm missing one. So 5 people here. And then we've got 9 full-time virtual assistants. So we use a 2-to-1 ratio and we hire them on a full-time basis. We're not suggesting that you start that way. We're suggesting you get there as quickly as you can, right? So back to Upwork. The reason why we hire them from Upwork is firstly, it has reviews, and those reviews are generally very dependable, kind of like Amazon's reviews, right? In Amazon, everybody has to buy a product to write a review, and you can plug 1 or 2 fake reviews, but it's really hard to do dozens of fake reviews. So in general, Amazon reviews are reliable. In the same way, Upwork has reviews, and those reviews are extremely important to us. Secondly, Upwork has a technology called the Upwork Tracker. And what this tracker does is that once it's installed on the remote worker's computer, it will take a snapshot of what they're doing. And it's actually an artificial intelligence tracker. So if they're not doing anything, it'll take less snapshots. If they're doing something, it'll take more snapshots. And it sort of builds a storyline of their day. And so you can, and then what it does is it gives it an activity level. So if they're pounding on their keyboard like mad during a 20-minute time frame, it'll give them a 10. And if they're basically just touch the keystroke once during that 20-minute time frame, then it'll give it a 1 instead of a 10, right? Or anything in between.
This is a rating, the 1 and 10, within the Upwork platform?
This is a rating system, correct. Within the Upwork platform for each person, for each day,
okay.
Right? So you can basically look at their day and you can see screenshot view where you can see the screenshots of what they're doing. So you can see if they're working on your software or if they're watching YouTube Filipino, right? So you can see what it is that they were doing during that time. But if you switch that the view away from the thumbnail view that shows the pictures to the list view, it now gives you, from using artificial intelligence, figures out their time that they were spending on different tasks. And usually how it figures it out is it can read all of the headings on every single screen. So if you're on a Microsoft Word document called Joe's Diary, it's going to say Joe's Diary in Upwork. Right. And it's going to say Microsoft Word, Joe's Diary. And then if you're in Chrome and you're, you know, doing something in Chrome and that page is called Multifamily University, it's going to say Chrome - Multifamily University. So by looking at these, reading these headings, it actually knows what it is that the person is doing. And as the person switches to a different task, it then basically says, OK, I'm going to start a new subset. And within that subset of 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it actually gives them a ranking of 1 through 10, 1 being least busy, 10 being most busy. Which means that we can do something with our people in the Philippines that we actually can't even do with our people in the US. We have a very good idea of how they how busy they truly are, right? A lot of people say, I don't want to hire a VA because I don't know if they're working on my stuff or anybody else's stuff. The answer is just go into Upwork and look. If the guy is pounding madly at his keyboard and you know his rating is an average of 8 or 9 on that day, he was truly very busy with your stuff, and you can flip through the pictures to see what it is that he was doing. But Upwork's telling you this guy is super busy because, you know, on average, he's a 9 out of 10. But if he's an average of 2 or 3 out of 10, then there are two possibilities. One is he has nothing to do, or he or she has nothing to do. Or secondly, he had plenty to do. He simply ignored your work. He has another Upwork profile and another laptop, and he's basically working through that, which means time theft, right? So we have one of our senior operations managers, she's in the Philippines as well. Part of her job is every week she goes in and looks at everyone else on our team. She looks at their trackers. And if she sees low activity, she basically just talks with them, right? It's like, your activity levels are very low. What are you doing? What's the problem? You know, are you falling asleep? What's the issue? And if the activity level doesn't improve, then we let them go, right? So by doing this, very early on, we set the right expectations. In fact, in our interviewing script, on Upwork, we mentioned that we check your activity trackers. So anybody that whose plan it is to steal time by using two different profiles and two different laptops simply doesn't apply. They know that they're wasting their time, right? So by using that technique, we can actually tell how busy our people are and get a very, very high average return. Our company's belief is that the average productivity of our people in the Philippines is higher than the average productivity of the people in the US, because the people in the US don't have Upwork installed on their computer.
Now, are you paying, you're paying hourly, is that correct?
We pay them hourly, but we might as well be paying them on a daily basis, because we don't believe in part-time staff. So even when we open a part-time position, our goal is to take it to full-time. So it might be 2 hours a day and then goes to 4, goes to 8 very quickly. So all of our staff work 8 to 5 a.m. Pacific. Whenever possible, you should not allow your staff to work flex hours. You do not want to give them work and say, come back to me the next day. You'd much rather say, well, if you're going to work with me an hour every day, I want you to work from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific, or, you know, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific. I want you to work a specific slot. I'm offering you a remote position, not a flex position. There's a difference between the two, and we are very clear on that. So my staff must log into Slack, which is our collaboration software. We don't like to use email in our company. We think email is evil. Everything gets lost. So communication and collaboration occurs almost entirely using Slack channels. So they have to log into Slack basically at 5 minutes before 8 a.m., and they can't log out until 5 p.m. So it's a very strict system, and that's how I suggest you deal with everybody. If you do not understand what Slack does, you need to get a software like Slack. Slack is free for light use, right? Obviously, we're paying for it, but for light use, Slack is an extremely free tool. What you shouldn't do is think that Slack is like Skype. It is not. It takes a while to understand its power. It is a corporate tool. It is a collaboration tool. Skype is simply a connection mechanism. So do not monitor your staff using Skype. Definitely, even if you have to pay $10 a month for your Skype license or whatever, $6, please pay that, because you will get a lot more value out of your remote staff. And not just your remote Filipino staff. If you've got one person working in Denver and one in New York and one in Houston, you'll get a lot more value out of that as well by using a tool like Slack. Because you need to be set up. You know, if you're going remote, you need the tools to make things work. And a lot of people don't understand that.
When you're looking to hire somebody in, from, we'll say, the Philippines or abroad in general, do you find that it's difficult to get people to be on your schedule, the Pacific? So if you're, let's say, the Philippines, right? They're working, what, like 9 or so through the night, like 9 p.m. to, we'll say, 4 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, they're about 15 hours ahead, right? So basically, they're almost the exact opposite of our time, which means that it's very inconvenient for them to work that way. So the answer is yes, it is. So we simply ignore the 99% of people on Upwork that do not want to work nights. But the 1% that not only want to work nights, but are also comfortable with it and have been doing it for years is still 250,000 people, right? So it's still an extremely large population of people that when we are interviewing them, we're basically looking for people that are used to working nights, you know, that have worked in call centers. Obviously, if they work a call center, then 90% of them would work U.S. hours, right? Most call centers, you know, most of their volume is going to be during U.S., you know, daytime, right? Or U.K. daytime. Either way, they're working night hours, which is fine with us. So the answer is that, yes, they don't like it, but there's hundreds of thousands of them that are not only used to it, but they actually eventually start liking it because it's very noisy during the day in the Philippines. Traffic is very heavy there. It's not like here. I mean, there's a lot of traffic noise in the background. And so when at night, when it's quiet, it's actually easier for them to make phone calls.
Can you speak a little bit more in depth about the parameters that you use or the metrics you use when you're sending out an initial offer as far as like a screening process is concerned? Like, what are you putting in there as far as like filtering out the bad characters from the good characters?
Sure. So what's interesting is that whatever, regardless of what we put in there, we can't filter them out that way. So I'll give you my filtering mechanism, but it's basically, my filtering mechanism is we ignore all incoming applicants. We just reach out to applicants ourselves that meet our criteria. Because what we find is we tell them, okay, this is what we need. And then we still get bombarded with all kinds of people that have never even worked on Upwork or are brand new. So we just basically just delete all the incoming profiles, all the incoming applicants. So when we post a job, we basically tell them, look, you know, you got to work 8 to 5. You've got to have, you know, a huge amount of experience. We're typically looking for people that have already made $30,000 on Upwork, right? We know that somebody that has made $30,000 on Upwork has probably worked 5,000 hours. That's 2.5 years, right? And some of the people that we have right now have done double or triple that. They've been on Upwork for 12 years. It used to be called Odex, and they were part of that. And so we're looking for people that are very, very experienced, because what happens is, a lot of those employers were not like us. They were not doing full-time work. They were just doing 20 hours with this guy and 50 hours there. And every time you do all these short-term gigs, you learn more. Just like a consultant, right? A consultant goes into 50 different companies. They learn 50 different systems and 50 different processes. They get better. So what we're looking for are people that have a minimum of 30 documented jobs on Upwork, and they have a minimum of $30,000 earned on Upwork. And for those jobs, they now have a 100% approval rating. Not 96, not 98, 100. Because we find that because people are paying so little for these people in the Filipinos, they tend to be a little bit too liberal with their 5-star ratings, right? What we found was if you wanted to have true superstars in our team, and we have 9 employees in our team with 5 superstars, right? The only way to get to them is stick to that 100% approval rating. If they're 99, we simply ignore them. And as I mentioned, once we put our posting in, we say all these things, people ignore that, incoming people come in, we just basically delete them on our profile. The way we hire people is that we have a Slack channel called Team Member Recruiting. So one of our staff is assigned to it. Whenever we open a requisition, she goes in, and every day she has to invite 250 people that meet this criteria in the Philippines, right? So 250 people for one job, one position. No, not 250 for one position, 250 per day.
Oh, okay.
This is hard. And she spends 4 hours doing those invites every day. So it takes us 4 hours of work to invite the 250 people that match the whole, you know, $30,000 or more, 100% job satisfaction, 30 jobs or more. Those are our three criteria that we look for. And of course, the fourth one is they must be in the Philippines, right? So now out of those 250 people, all of them are employed, right? People love them. They're great. They obviously are very experienced. And so most of them just ignore our request, right? Or they read our request and realize, oh, this is a very strict company. They want to work 9 to 5 Pacific. They have all, you know, they're going to check the Upwork tracker. I don't want to work for them. Then there's a bunch who are like, this is exactly the kind of company that I'm looking for because I want one job that lasts years. Most jobs on Upwork last like a few weeks, right? But this is a platinum level company that pays $100,000 a year or more to Upworkers. They have an incredible track record, 5-star reviews as an employer. I want to work for them. So now out of those 250 people, about 15 or 16 respond back to us and send us written bios. Now at that point is when we start reading their profiles. Previously, we weren't reading their profiles because it would take too long to read 250 profiles every day. We were simply looking for those three metrics, right? And if they did, we invited them. So now we've got 15 or 16 people every day that basically are saying, yep, I want to be interviewed. So now we read their profiles. And what are we looking for in their profiles? Well, firstly, we want a blend of CSR and VA experience, virtual assistant experience, and CSR, customer service rep. A customer service rep is either doing chat duties or phone duties. We want a blend of those because that means that the person, he or she has got the right software. Mostly we hire females. So we only have one male in our team of, 10 full-timers. Actually, we have one male, 10 full-timers, right? So it's a 1-to-10 ratio. And one of the big reasons there is a lot of call centers want women, right? Because women have lighter voices and their accent is much easier to understand. Men tend to be, we're more gruff. We tend to eat up more words. And so it's harder to understand us, right? Deeper voice. So especially, deeper voice tied with accent is much harder to understand. So I tend to hire mostly women for that reason. But most of the ones that are on there are women anyway. When they come back in, those 15 people, when we're reading their profile, we want that blend of experience. And then we want something else that is the magic. This is our secret sauce. Let's say a review says this was a good VA who completed the job on time, or he's hardworking, or he's cheery, he's happy. Those are bad reviews for us. We only want to hire people that say things like, this is the most outstanding virtual assistant I've ever worked for. This is a rock star. Magnificent, unbelievable, stunning. We are looking for superlative words or phrases. And those superlative words and phrases must come from a minimum of 2 different employers. Sometimes it's the same employer and they're posting the same comment over and over again as each phase finishes. So we're looking for different employers that say, oh my God, I'm in love with this person, right? And usually when we read 16 profiles, we find 4 people like that. Those 4 people are then interviewed by my team in the Philippines. Two managers must interview each person. They do it in the same interview, right? So they're doing it over 30 minutes. They ask their questions. And then out of those 4 people, they pass 2 people, one or 2 people onto me each day. And I typically interview those 1 or 2 people myself. And out of 6 to 7 interviews, we basically hire one person. So it's 250 people a day for about 4 to 5 days. So they are basically inviting 1,250 people. They're getting about 75 people that are responding. They're getting out of that maybe 20, 30 people that they're interviewing. They're passing on, 5 or 6 to me, and we're hiring one out of that. Now, that sounds like a completely insane process. It is. I'll just say we're very nitpicky, but we were always looking for superstars. You don't need a superstar. So in your case, you could basically take all of those numbers and chop them to 10% of those numbers, and you'd still end up with good people.
Mm. When you're saying invite them on Upwork, if you are inviting people on Upwork, correct me if I'm wrong, are you only limited to like 2 or 3 invites per person before you start paying for it? Is that correct?
Upwork doesn't charge you anything for inviting people. Upwork is charging the person that is paying. That person is paying 20% of their fees to Upwork for the first $500 earned. Then they're paying 10% of the fees for the next $10,000 earned, right? So that happens about 8 months in. And then beyond that, they're only paying 5%. So obviously people want long-term jobs because instead of paying 20% to Upwork, they're paying 5%. So all of my current managerial staff is at the 5% level because they've been here longer than 8 months. The only fee I pay to Upwork is the 2.75% processing fee because we use credit cards to get airline miles.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So you were saying earlier that the average job on Upwork is a couple weeks. What is your average retention rate for a job? Do most people stay for a year and a half, 8 months, 6 months? Like, what's your turnover rate?
We tend to let roughly 50% of them go in the first 7 or 8 months. After that, our retention rate spikes like crazy and they stay 3 to 4 years. We let about 40% of them go in the first 6 months because that's really when we're trying to figure out, is this person truly a fit? Are they a true multitasker? Are they a technologist? Because we want people that are very comfortable with tech. We use 63 different software in our company. And so they've got to get used to that kind of, you know, madness. So it's the retention level is pretty low initially. But once they get past that, firstly, the moment they go past that 8 month time frame, they don't want to leave. Because now they're only paying a 5% fee, right? They're taking 95% of what we pay them home. Also, to make it sweet, at the 8 month point, we bump up their salary by 10%. So now they're getting a double bonus. They get a higher salary and they keep a higher percentage. And so at that point, nobody wants to leave. So that's our, you know, us saying, okay, now we've really got to keep this person. We don't want them to leave because it would hurt us, having spent 6 to 8 months really training them and turning them into an incredibly productive staff.
And then when you're hiring them and you're incentivizing them per job, or how are you incentivizing them?
Well, on an hourly basis. I mean, so when you start out with Upwork and you're playing with it and you're doing your first few jobs, you'll probably do fixed cost, you know, $20, $30, $50, whatever that fixed cost is. That doesn't really last. And to be honest, when you're doing fixed cost projects, you're not going to get the same quality of staff. Right? Because nobody really wants to work 20, you know, do these fixed cost $20, $30, $50 projects. They want to do, you know, time and material sort of, you know, projects. So we pay them $5.27 an hour, right? So that's our base salary. And then it goes up to $5.56 and then $6. And then beyond $6, it's, you know, manager bonuses and those sorts of things. It basically, you know, scales from there.
Wow. Awesome. Love it. Well, I definitely have learned a lot of valuable information to go hire some VAs. Well, we appreciate that there for you. Let's close it out with the final questions here for you, Neil. First question is, if you were to regift a book, what is your favorite book to regift?
Well, I'm going to give you one it's an interesting one. It's called Traction. I would like everyone, the first thing people will think about when they start reading this book is, wait a minute, I'm not at this point yet. You know, this is 1 year away from where I am. Yes, I want you to read that book now because it will help your journey be smoother and you'll build the right things along the way. So Traction is a book about how to get your company from the first year to scale it to the point where it can be 10 or 20 or 100 times bigger. So it's one of the most amazing books to read. And what I like about it is not a book. It is a how-to manual. Mm. I love books that are how-to manuals, right? They get down to the brass tacks very quickly. So Read Traction has got an incredible power and has made a huge difference to our company.
You've used Traction to implement your business?
Yeah, so portions of Traction is already implemented and portions of Traction will be implemented over the next 12 months.
Love it. Second question. If you were to give a TEDx talk, what would it be on and why?
I think it would be on the fact that why 99% of all real estate investors are illogical. When I look at real estate, the thing that stands out is very few sectors of the economy are based on so much emotion as real estate. I'd say that the only other industry that is as emotional as real estate is Hollywood, is entertainment, because the decisions being made are so completely nonsensical in so many different ways because people love to sell themselves on a concept or an idea. And then everything that they're doing is based on their already sold mind. And I know that everybody does this. I do it all the time. But I think that when people do it in real estate, they're dealing with tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're dealing with all the money that they ever made. And that's not the right kind. That's not the kind of decision that you make, you know, equivalent to you deciding what to eat at Panda Express. I mean, people are making decisions just as flippant as picking food in a restaurant. My TED Talk would be about why do people do it? Why are they forced to do it by their mind? And what are the two or three things that they really need to do to get out of that loop and turn, you know, a little bit like Mr. Spock from Star Trek? Because really, the best investor in the world would be Lieutenant Spock.
I want to see this now, Neil. I want to see this on YouTube. Very cool. All right, third and final question. What is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
I think the biggest pain point that we face is that we are late in the cycle. I'm finding that we're doing amazing things with these team members in the Philippines. We're able to do magic at our properties that no one else can even imagine. Imagine team members that are helping the property manager with everything from revenue management to creating leads to delinquency management to lead management. There's so many different aspects of our business that we can optimize. What we find is we are still subject to the cycle. In the end, you cannot overpay for property simply because you have this incredible back office system, right? That's what we're discovering. So in the end, it's becoming very difficult for us to buy anything at all simply because we believe that everything in the market is overpriced. That's a constant challenge that we have to deal with.
Love it. Well, thank you very much for your answers there for you. And lastly, on Real Estate Journeys, we're a value-driven podcast, and we always like to give back to our audience. I believe we have a free giveaway there from you. Is that correct?
That's right. So one of the things that I like to do, for those of you that actually resonate with my idea of both value-driven and data-driven investing, we've put together a toolkit on our website. And this toolkit is absolutely marvelous in that, firstly, there's a one-hour presentations about the real estate trends that are driving profit across the U.S. It's data-driven, but it's also a fascinating map-based journey where you fly across the U.S. to different states to see what's really happening and why are certain states winning and other states losing? Why are certain cities winning, other cities losing? So there's that presentation, and then there's sections and sections and sections of data that are tied back to that presentation in some way. Top 10 lists, worst cities in America to invest in. What are the trends for senior housing, for student housing, for co-living, all those kinds of pieces. And that is put together in one toolkit, and we give it away for free, and we encourage people to keep adding to the toolkit, and people send in interesting articles and research papers all the time to us. That's available at www.multifamilyu.com. That's multifamily followed by the letter u.com/toolkit. Once again, multifamilyu.com/toolkit. And it's extremely powerful. We update it every month with new content. I think if you go there, you'd be blown away by what you're going to find.
We'll make sure to include that in the show notes. And what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Well, I'm very reachable. So Neil, N-E-A-L, that's the Irish spelling, N-E-A-L at multifamilyu.com will get directly through to me.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Well, Neil, thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate it. You're a great guest, and we'll catch you on the next go around.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Journeys with Matthew Baltzell. To claim your free investor swag, head on over to rejpodcast.com and click on the tab Free Investor Swag.